My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What an incredible moment it was on Thursday night. Last pick of the first round. Out walks Clark Hunt, owner of the Chiefs.
That would have been cool, though.
Yeah.
Clark Hunt,
owner of the Chiefs. He walks out. The draft is in Kansas City on stage at Union Station. And he makes the selection. Felix Anudike Uzama, Kansas City kid, played his college ball at Kansas State. Fireworks are going off in the background. Just an amazing scene and a really cool moment both for the Chiefs and for a Kansas City kid who hears his hometown team call his name in his hometown. Oh, and they happen to be the best team in the world. To talk more about him, Felix Anudike Uzama is his high school coach, the head coach of Lee's Summit Football. Eric Thomas joining us now on 610 Sports Radio. Good morning, Coach.
How are you today?
Doing great, and we're excited to have you on and talk a little bit more about Felix.
Hey, Coach, I tell you what, man, it's a factory for you. Drew Locke, of course, went to Lee's Summit High School and with Felix, and I think more and more of his story is kind of fun to watch, especially like what he did during the pandemic, Coach, as far as bulking himself. He's always a great football player for you, but the way he took care of his body and always eye on the prize before he went to Kansas State.
Yeah, you know, Felix was definitely under-recruited, and that was one of the reasons why was his size and his, not necessarily his height or his frame, but his weight. Everybody was concerned about that, but Felix was a three-sport athlete, and you know, playing basketball, winner, and then running track. I mean, he was an all-state triple jumper. So no all-state triple jumper is going to want to put on, you know, 240, 250 pounds. But with the pandemic happening, his senior season of track, man, he just went to work in the gym and reported heavier and got things going.
Coach, I think this pandemic's going to be interesting to look at. Back at it a couple of years, like the not having gyms, guys doing the home gyms, guys focusing, not watching TV too much or playing too much video games and concentrating on football. But how trying was that, you know, with you and take care of these guys and making sure they're going in the right direction? But he's really, really a product of a guy that went to town, went in that lab during that pandemic.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, he did. And, you know, he knew to be successful at K-State, he was going to have to put on some weight, and it was just a head start for him. Instead of being in spring track, you know, being able to get in there and get that weight going and start bulking up was a blessing in disguise with the pandemic. Now, I will tell you, and I think Felix would tell you also, he would have probably rather had his senior track season, because our track team, man, they were positioned to possibly win a state title that year. I mean, you had Johnny Brackens, you had Felix. You know, Josh was a freshman at that point, but his brother Micah Manning was really good. They had distance runners. They were solid across the board and were going to be pretty good that spring season of track. And so those guys missed a lot with that, but Felix took advantage of that opportunity.
Talking to Eric Thomas, head football coach at Lee's Summit High School, who churns out players to the next level at a remarkable clip. A couple guys in the National Football League as we sit now. And Coach, I got to take – when you look at these high school players to college, it's always interesting to me because here's a guy that even Felix – we're almost – okay, almost went to Mizzou and didn't even play football but stuck with football and stuck it out and grinded. And only Bowling Green and North Dakota State, you know, throw offers this direction. Now we're seeing him in the National Football League with the world champions drafted in the first round. Why do college coaches miss – so much on players, coach, or your players? Because obviously you can put size and weight on a kid when they go there. How do they miss so frequently?
Well, I mean, I think, and we talk to our kids about this all the time, when you're talking about these elite-level Division I programs, they're recruiting across the country. So when you look at a kid like Felix, who at the time was 6'3", 215, and then you've got a guy in Florida that's 6'4", and already weighs 255, 260, sometimes they look over that and look at the guy that, hey, he's all football and he's putting on this weight and he's already this size, those types of things. But sometimes college coaches have a hard time measuring the heart and the soul of a kid and what they're really about. And I think they struggle with that, and they struggle seeing, okay, what can this guy be for us 2 or 3 years down the road? And for Felix, it happened faster than that. But sometimes these college guys don't want to take developmental players. And honestly, guys, this NLI and the transfer portal have made it worse for high school kids, because now guys are just instantly going to the transfer portal and they're filling up their signing classes with guys that have already played or guys that have already been in college for a couple of years. So it's making it harder and harder for some of our high school kids to get out there. I mean, we had guys sign NAIA this year. There's nothing wrong with NAIA. I love it. It's great football. But those guys 3 or 4 years ago would have been Division II football players. So it's just kind of a trickle-down effect with this transfer portal thing. Now, that wasn't there when Felix was there, and I'm getting off topic, but that's part of the thing, is they're looking for guys that can come in and contribute right now. They can recruit across the nation, so they got to be willing to take chances on guys.
You speak to the heart and soul of these players, and I want to ask you, like, what, as a person, what kind of player is Felix, and how does that character make him a perfect fit for an NFL team like the Chiefs?
Yeah, he's going to be a great locker room leader, great guy, great personality, he's a humble, he's not going to be boisterous, over-the-top type of guy, but the thing you're going to get with Felix, and the thing when you turn his film on, all the way back into high school, I mean, he was a kid that we could constantly show our kids what effort looks like on the football field, because he was not going to be denied. We talk all the time about it being a race to the football, and Felix was going to win that race. He was fast to the ball all the time, and he did that in college also. It was such a pleasure to be able to turn on a K-State film and show our kids, look, he's still playing hard. And that's what's going to get him to the next level, is his effort and his tenacity to get to the football. And now, you know, here we are. I think that is his best trait. He's not going to be denied. But I think it goes back to his story and his path of – having to work hard, having to be that guy that was every day engaged to get and achieve his goals.
We're talking to Felix Anyedike, Uzama's high school coach, Eric Thomas at Lee's Summit here on 610 Sports Radio. To that point, coach, simply why would you be willing to bet on this kid's success in the NFL?
Because I've seen him bet on himself multiple times. You know, I mean, here's a kid, and you guys have heard the stories already, but you know, he's an eighth grade B-team football player for us, played his freshman year, continued to come out because his brother was in the program. Celestine was playing with us. Still wasn't great as a freshman, probably a B-team player there still. And then as a sophomore, you know, there were some things of him really not being able to get it done and trying to play at the varsity level. And he took it upon himself to get better and said he was going to be that guy. And by the end of his sophomore year, going into his junior year, I mean, he was unblockable and then became a two-time All-State football player. So that path through our program tells me he's going to be successful. Then you look at his path to K-State. You know, he goes there without a scholarship. He goes there and trusts their coaches that they're going to take care of him when he gets there. And they do. You know, credit to the K-State coaches, Coach Kleiman and Coach Riley. Those guys have a tremendous amount of faith and respect for them. But then his path through K-State, I mean, he starts at the bottom, and here we are 2 or 3 years in, and, I mean – 3 years in, he's the Big 12, you know, defensive player of the year and an All-American. So that path has happened twice now. So what would lead you to believe that it's not going to happen with the Chiefs?
It's an interesting story. I mean, here you got a guy that was maybe undersized, wasn't going to play football, go to Missouri and just go to school, and all of a sudden he's Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, first-round draft pick. And, Coach, I got to ask this. When he was offered by Bowling Green in North Dakota State, and the offers weren't rolling into him, and you knew how good, because he was a very good high school football player, when you see that stuff, like how hard did you guys have to make those connections with Kansas State for him to get that chance? Because his story could have gone many different directions. If he doesn't get that chance with Kansas State, maybe he does go to another school and doesn't play football. And it's a damn shame because here's the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year and a first-round draft pick that doesn't go that direction. How hard was it to get him to go to Kansas State and he didn't have that offer right away?
Yeah, it was tough, man. There was some trying days there. I mean, because Felix knew he didn't – I mean, his parents loved Bowling Green, and they really wanted him to go to Bowling Green. And then he committed to North Dakota State, and Felix always saw himself as something better than North Dakota State, and that's one of the best – I mean, that's one of the best programs in the nation, right? So I was like, man, you go here, you're still going to have a chance to get to the league. Your goals are all still going to be able to be achieved. But he just – he wanted to be at that next level. So we just kept working behind the scenes. I mean, I'm still contacting coaches all over the country about him, trying to get someone to pull the trigger. K-State had been high on him from the beginning, and Coach Kleiman and those guys had just come from North Dakota State. And really just we had a good relationship with them. And you know, Coach Riley, I can remember Connor Riley, their O-line coach, just kept telling me, be patient. We're going to have some things sort out. We're going to see what happens. And literally it was like the day before Felix was going to sign with North Dakota State, they kind of came through with this scenario and this option for Felix to sign a letter of commitment to them, to commit to them and them commit to him. But there was a lot of trust involved, and Felix trusted it. He trusted me and my relationship with them, and made it happen. So, it is a story. It's one that I've never had before, but, it's exciting.
Well, it's a cool story, and I know you're probably excited to be able to keep a very watchful eye on him in your backyard playing for the hometown team. So, Coach, I thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're fired up about what this kid can bring to the Chiefs. So thanks for coming on and telling us a little bit more about him today.
Yeah, no doubt. Appreciate you guys having me on. And it is an exciting time for Lee Summit High School and for the whole Kansas City metro area with the draft in town. And Felix is going to be somebody the entire metro area can be proud of, so I'm excited about that.
Coach, keep churning out NFL players, man. I mean, just keep doing it, man. You got a factory going on.
Well, hey, there's another one on the boards this weekend, maybe Mitchell Tinsley, yep. Who's out there and could get drafted late or get a free agent contract, and then who knows, 3 or 4 years from now, we might be seeing some other guys walk across the stage that are down in MU right now. So
can you do something for our careers?
Oh, boy.
I'm kidding. Good talking to you, Coach. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. That is the head coach of Lee Summit High School football.
He turns one on the line, man. I'll go out there and let him rub the head or something here. He's like, yeah, rub the top of the head. Let me tell you this much about guys like Coach Eric Thomas. He helped, like, if it's not for him and his footwork, maybe Felix doesn't get that chance at Kansas State. These high school coaches that build these connections with colleges, and in the talks they have on the phone, hey, give my guy a chance. Give my guy a chance. If it's not for that kind of stuff behind the scenes, maybe he doesn't get that chance at Kansas State. Maybe he's not Big 12 Player of the Year. Maybe he's not a first-round pick of the Kansas City Chiefs. It takes coaches like Coach Thomas, who's a great coach. It takes these guys sometimes to go that extra effort and are a big part of the story of who and what he is, Chris, to get behind these kids and give them that opportunity. Like Coach Andy Sims at that Park Hill, he had like 40 guys within a 3-year span of Blue Valley North get to the next level and play college football. Like, these high school coaches around this area really help these young men, man, get developed and go to the next level. Like, they put a lot of effort into it.
All right, we're going to talk more about Felix, this draft class, and what's in store here on day 3 of the NFL Draft coming up next on 610 Sports Radio.
This is an NFL Draft special with the Character Concerns podcast crew. Subscribe and download today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 610 Sports Radio.
Thanks for hanging out with us this morning. The Character Concerns crew is back for more NFL draft coverage, and we will be back again Monday night.
We're like Gensu Knives, but wait, there's more.
That's right. What are our hours for Monday? I can't keep my head straight.
6 to 2 a.m.
I don't think we're going till 2. You might.
6 to 9.
You might. Chris and I may take off at 9 o'clock. But yeah, we got off the air at 11 a.m. or 11 p.m. last night. And
12 the day
before. I'll tell you what, when the alarm clock went off around 7:15 this morning, the snooze was hammered a couple times.
Yeah, I woke up at I don't set an alarm or anything. My body's just like, okay, it's time for you to wake
even
up.
Even like
yeah.
on days like today?
Never. I never have to because I usually wake up at like 6 every morning. But like this morning, since it was such a late night, I got to bed at like 1 in the morning.
Well, not just a late night, but two consecutive
yeah,
late nights.
Such a late night. So I woke up at 7:30. I woke up and it was like 7:38. I was like, okay, I should probably get up and go in.
I'm the same way. And I usually do, but I did set the alarm clock today. You know why? I was forced to chill. My internet went down. We had an internet
outage. What time?
It's still down. 12:37 a.m. The internet goes down. It's still down because I called and just threw a fit.
Let me ask you something.
Beak is the guy who will throw a fit.
The whole way up to 6:35.
He is 100% that'll throw a fit.
Let me ask you this, Beak. Honest question. What time did you wake up this morning?
I don't know if there was a wake-up time. I think I just was turning and tossing and thinking, and I was pissed at the internet.
Okay, actually. How much sleep did you get Thursday night?
None. But I
no,
was,
are you serious?
I didn't sleep.
Did you even go to bed?
No, because I watched the draft again.
I slept for 2 hours. Actually, no. I slept for 2 hours Thursday.
I have not slept really.
What's wrong with you guys?
Yeah. That was just because I had too much caffeine.
But I'm gonna crash.
Yeah, I was laying in bed, my eyelids were twitching on Thursday. I was like, why did I drink that?
Me too. Monsters and Bangs I've drank.
I had one of them. I had one of them.
Running.
Fast.
You're
I had
running them, on Bang.
Like when I crash, I'm gonna crash so damn.
I had one of those fast twitches that they've been advertising, and I was like, oh, that was a mistake. I shouldn't have had that at 2 o'clock.
You really didn't even go to bed on Thursday?
Honestly.
You're an animal.
I'm so wired up on adrenaline. This is my favorite time of the year that, again, when I finally fall asleep, it may be for like 4 days straight.
You're going to go in hibernation.
No, I'm going to call Aaron Rodgers and get the darkness retreats.
Ayahuasca. Memory. Yeah.
No, I'm going to go in the cave and turn off every device.
I like that. I like that a lot. Guys, we have our first action already on day 3. The draft doesn't officially begin for another 39 minutes, but the Saints have moved up. They have traded to get the first pick of round 4. So they get pick 103. They had to give up picks 115 and 165. Here's the only reason this is interesting. Is I just want to look at the compensation for what they had. They move up 12 spots and gave up a late 5th round pick. They gave up a late 5th round pick to move up 12 spots. So if you are someone who thinks the Chiefs should be aggressive again like they were yesterday, they traded up for both their second and third round picks. And if you're thinking they should continue that trend today, now we have some compensation to go off of. Trading up 12 spots will cost you a 5th round pick. So the Chiefs currently have pick 134 and then pick 166 in the 5th round. You give up that 5th round pick, you can probably move up 10 to 12 spots.
Well, here's the deal. The Rich Hill trade chart, there's not a ton of value. For example, the number one pick in the draft is 1,000 points. And this is what teams use charts like. The Chiefs' first-round pick was worth 190. Right now, you're sitting there looking at picks in the 4th round worth 28 points, 24 points. I mean, pick 120, for example, is worth 24 points. I mean, there's not a ton of points. And what I would say by points is each pick's assigned a value. And the further you go in the draft, like you get to the 7th round, they're worth 2 and 1 point. So the cost of doing business is not great.
Do you guys think the Chiefs should be aggressive here in round 4? Would you like to see them trade up? Is there a player you would like to see them trade up for?
Yeah, I think there's a couple guys out there that I really like. Nick Salivary, the lineman, and then Zach Kuntz, the tight end.
But would they need to move up to get them?
I think so. I think a little bit because I think these guys are – for sure, I think they're early 4th round picks, Chris.
I think they might not have to do it so much for Kuntz just because if you look at the way the boards – fleshed out, there are a lot of players that we thought were going to go on day 2 that are still on the board, like Kelly Ringo and Adebowore and guys like that. There's a lot of guys you're like, I can't believe this guy fell. Like
Jones is out there.
Yeah, like we were looking at guys yesterday like that we thought could go second round, and they were going third round, like Josh Downs, wide receiver out of North Carolina. Like there's a lot of guys here where it's like, okay, this kind of gives the Chiefs a little insulation if they do want to wait until 95 to make the, I mean, until, was it 122 to make the pick? Because they don't have to move up if they think that there's better value where they're at. And if they think, if they trust their board and just like, hey, we think this guy's going to fall to us, it's a good position to be in. Now, if they do want to get one of those guys that fell, that was projected to go higher, then yeah, they're going to have to move up probably.
You mentioned a guy, Chris, local kid, another local kid. We just got done talking about Felix. Adetamiwa Adebore.
North Kid City.
North KC goes and plays his ball at Northwestern. Not super productive. Had four and a half, I mean, not terrible. Had 4.5 sacks, defensive tackle for Northwestern his junior year. Had 5 sacks last year as a senior. Entered the combine as a guy who you thought would be around on day 3. Right? So nothing really out of the usual right now. And then he goes to the combine and, I mean, dominates. Freakishly athletic testing results. 6'2", 282. He runs a 4.49 40, 4.26 shuttle, 1.61 10-yard split, 37-inch vertical, 125-inch broad jump. These aren't good numbers. These are elite numbers.
The fastest ever for somebody over 280.
The fastest 40 time ever for somebody over 280 pounds. Is he a defensive end? Is he a defensive tackle? I think that question is probably the reason why he didn't hear his name called on day 2. What is this guy's position? Is he a tweener? Now, there's a fine line between being a tweener and being versatile. Steve Spagnuolo loves versatility. I know it would continue with the trend of like getting another Kansas City kid, getting another local product, but I would love to see the Chiefs go after him. Now, I think that would be I think he's going to be one of the first names called today.
Yeah, I think so too.
Which is probably high school.
Probably a lot of other teams were thinking the same thing. Yeah, let's move up and get him.
I can't believe he fell to the 4th round. Yeah,
he played high school about a mile and a half from the center block where we were last night, which is insane.
He should have came by.
He could have come by. He could have had some firkin.
That's right. He could have had.
He's of age.
I think though that because the way the board is shaken up the way that it has, there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to find some good value here. Like again, there's so many guys that we were looking at and was like, oh, there's no way that guy falls to day 3. And you look at some of the names. I mean, Darnell Washington was a guy that was talked about in the late 1st round, and he fell all the way to the 3rd round. So at that point, we kind of knew that this was going to become a really weird draft. And then day 3 looks like it's full. It's got a lot of gems here. I think now this is where you're going to see some of these guys make their money as general manager, as head coach.
Yeah. And Brett Veach has already made his money there. And I'll tell you what, man, I love this trade. I love seeing that the Saints are now the first team, because just seeing some compensation, giving up a 5th round pick, that'll move you up about 12 spots. There are moves to be made. You know, Brett Veach is no stranger to him, as we saw yesterday.
One quick question for you. What's the show about combine times? How important is a combine? Because we're seeing guys destroy the combine that are still available. Remember the Raiders used to take the fastest guy?
Well,
in the combine?
I'll tell you what.
People are going like Dontari Post syndrome, guys that showed out at the combine but didn't game film. But look at the patience of GMs not taking these combine standouts, like Nolan Smith.
But I do think each team operates differently. And there are teams who on day 2 and 3 – are still saying, like, we need a guy who can help us from day 1. The Chiefs are not that team. The Chiefs can be riskier than a lot of these other GMs who need plug-and-play guys. Brett Veach is just looking for dudes. And we don't need you right now, but if in 2 years you can be a stud, we'll take a risk on you.
But a lot of patience not taking combine heroes.
And nobody's in a position to be more patient than the Kansas City Chiefs are. All right, coming up before 11 o'clock, we're going to call our shots. We're going to tell you who we think the Chiefs are going to take here on day 3. This is Character Concerns on 610 Sports Radio.
This is an NFL Draft Special with the Character Concerns podcast crew. Subscribe and download today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 610 Sports Radio.
Good morning, Kansas City. Thanks for hanging out with us. I am Nick Schwert, Chris Unocera, Jay Binkley. This is Character Concerns on 610 Sports Radio. What a beautiful day it is. If you're heading down to the draft, I know this is the day that a lot of people are going to go down and check it out for the first time, maybe trying to avoid the crowds a little bit. Chris, you said you're going down, right?
Yeah, I'm meeting some friends down there, and I was worried because you looked at the weather and it said it might rain this morning.
Dude, look outside, bro.
And I got up this morning and I opened up the blinds and I was like, oh, this is perfect.
Chamber of Commerce Day.
This is working out exactly how it should. I'm very looking very much forward to being at the draft after we get
Where are you going
to
go? Where do you want to position yourself? Like, where do you want
know,
to be?
I'm kind of going to focus more on the fan experience than I am sitting around like trying to stand around the stage, because everyone's going to try to be around the stage and whatnot. And I kind of want to go and focus on the fan experience and just kind of take the whole thing in, you know. Like, I want to see the stage for sure, because it looks so great on TV and whatnot and all the pictures. But I want to, like, go around and see the whole fan experience.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the weather couldn't have opened up more perfectly for this day. I mean, I'm sure this is the day that a lot of people – I wouldn't be surprised if today is busier than yesterday was. Saturday,
weather's better.
It's Saturday. It's beautiful out. Like, it's a good time to go take the kids.
Chiefs
like
have more
with
picks.
The family. Yeah.
Just if you want to see Chiefs make picks, man, today's the day.
Five picks. And from the 816, I realized this right as we were coming back on the air. My mic was on the entire time during that commercial break. So I don't think I said anything inappropriate.
You didn't. We were talking about
I never
your,
do.
We were talking about your Flashpoint.
That's right. That's right. 213 Flashpoint, by the way. You know, you're looking
you
to
gave
get
it a good endorsement.
Hey, you're looking like to get in a better you're looking to get in a better shape this year? Try 213 Flashpoint.
So I'm telling you, I'm interested in it. That's actually a great advertisement.
That's right. Just you know, organic.
Yeah, it was.
It's the best way. That's the best way to do it. Guys, I think I've found a life hack when it comes to the NFL draft. Over the last 12 hours, I have really found myself buying into the Chiefs selection of Rashee Rice, because I've went 180. When I first saw the report, it was Rashee Rice that they were trading up to get at pick 55. I didn't love it. Much like when you have your mind set on someone, like I really thought the Chiefs were going to go after Marvin Mims. I really thought they might go after Cedric Tillman. And when I saw Rashee Rice, I said, okay, the kid from SMU, right, really inconsistent, physically gifted, kind of was bossing around these cornerbacks, but he played against weak competition, and he was good one play, terrible the next. Technically, he's kind of a mess. I just don't know if I love it, but I think the life hack is remind yourself the team that you're talking about. And Chris, I think you said it best earlier today. And think about the Chiefs and their model of consistency. Like, think of them as you would an elite college program. Think of them as you would Georgia. Think of them as you would Alabama. They're a factory. And when you have a team like that and you constantly are infusing it with new talent, just look at last year. You draft 10 players, 7 of them play in the Super Bowl. What's the stat, Bink? How many starters from the draft?
There was 4 guys. Well,
no, was it 21 of 22, right?
21 of the last 22 have made the roster, and
right.
Cornell Powell's on the practice squad. Bo Pete Key's the only guy not here.
When you think about the Chiefs as a college program, then all of a sudden it frees up the idea that this guy can take a year to develop, right? It's a redshirt year.
Is that Tom Osborne, Bill Snyder?
And when I think about Rashee Rice and his physical traits, I say, I don't need you to be good this year. But if you tell me you're contributing at a high level by year two, I think this guy could become a very special player, because the pressure is not on them to be the guy in year one. There is no pressure with the Chiefs. There's pressure to be good. Eventually, there's pressure to fit in and do things the right way, but there's no pressure to perform. Like, I don't care what your stats are as a rookie. You're a rookie. You're allowed to get better. And when you think about it through that prism, I think it's much easier to start getting excited about a guy, because you're no longer hyper-focused on what he's going to do for you right away.
I think Rashee Rice is going to be the guy people drive up to St. Joe for. They want to see what he could do. Obviously, they want to see what Felix can do.
I think Felix is going to be the bigger reason why people go up there, because he's the first-round pick.
But the receivers are the ones that go ooh and ah for.
Yeah, but when you the first-round pick, the first-round edge rusher is all, and the hometown kid is going to be the main focus there. But I will say this. I think, and you brought this point up, Nick. I think the Chiefs are this kind of team that's just, they're going to get ahead of the problem. They're not going to be the kind of team that's going to wait until it becomes a severe issue before they handle it. They're going to get ahead of it. And, like, the Chiefs could have justified not taking an edge rusher in the first round and say, hey, we'll just have Omenihue play edge. We got Nnadi back here. We got Cowart. You know, we could put those in Turk Wharton still. We could put those guys in there and at the three tech and we're fine. But the Chiefs said, you know, let's get ahead of the issue. Let's go get another young first round edge rusher here so that we don't have to think about that position for a while. Okay, let's go get a receiver that we can develop long-term so that we don't have to think about that position for a while. You know, let's go get an offensive tackle that could compete so we don't have to think about that position for a while. And I think that that's the difference between what the Chiefs do and what a lot of these other teams are doing. And it helps when you have a quarterback that is the best in the league because you don't have to worry about trying to be perfect everywhere else. You can draft ahead and take your time. They're in such a great position. I know that, like, there's some cap constraints now that Mahomes' contract extension has kicked in, and they're in the second year of that now. But when your quarterback is the best in the league, it helps you around the team so much because it's okay if your linebacking core isn't perfect, if your defensive secondary isn't perfect. It's really nice to see them be in a position where they can kind of get ahead of the issue, and then on the third day, they can kind of draft for luxury, draft for potential at positions that they don't need guys right now. And very much, again, that's like a college program doing that, where these college teams are over-recruiting at certain positions because it's like, okay, well, we don't need a quarterback now, but we'll need a quarterback in a year when this guy gets drafted into the league. So let's go get our quarterback here, and then we can develop him.
Can we project you to be a different position?
Exactly.
Just like I told you about the tight end, 6'4", 210. They say, oh, let's make this guy a center, Bill Snyder. This one sticks out to me, though. This is what I think the Chiefs' approach is going to be today. We talk about this versatility. This was Veach, and this sticks out to me, what he said with Pat McAfee, because I think this applies a lot to what today's going to be for the Chiefs.
Well, I think you kind of alluded to it. It's speed and versatility, which goes with the player's aptitude to be able to come in and learn plays. Coach likes to he likes to create matchup problems, and he likes offensive players that can play multiple positions. So if he wants to get to a player or a look that's successful, it doesn't have to be that same receiver running that play or that same running back running that play. So any guy that can come in here, and certainly speed is right at the forefront of skill sets that are valued and desired. But guys that can run, but also, like I mentioned, just be versatile and line up in different positions, play multiple positions. We like receivers that can play inside and outside, and we like running backs that can go out and play in the slot. So anytime you get speed and versatility, needless to say, those guys will be high on our priority list.
And I think that's been the theme. What he said right there has been the theme of what the Chiefs have been doing.
Yeah, I think you could draw that commonality between all three of these guys. Like Felix, with what they did with him in Manhattan, with their running a 3-3-5, that's not what they're going to be doing in Kansas State. They kicked him a little bit more inside. Like now you can kind of get back to putting him on the outside, but he does have this build, this wide sort of broad build, where you'd say, okay, 255, you could probably put some weight on, right? You might be playing 270 in a year or two. And now all of a sudden gives you flexibility to do more things. Rashee Rice, use him over the top, use him underneath. He's strong. He can break tackles, but he can also be that physical receiver winning contested catches. Wanya Morris, I think that's a guy who potentially, I hope that I'm wrong. I think he's got the potential to be your starting right tackle. Like Chris, you've talked about several times from day one. I think he's going to compete for that right tackle job. But if he's a swing tackle, or if he's a guy who maybe you end up kicking inside and be a utility guy on the line.
He can play guard.
He can play guard, much like a souped up Nick Allegretti, so to speak. Like I think he's more talented and has higher upside, but if that's what you end up getting, a guy who gets a second contract who's with your organization for the next 5-6 years, that's a successful draft pick.
You heard what he said there, too. Or a running back that you can put in the slot.
Yeah.
You heard about what he said there. Guys that you can move around and not afraid to put the running back in the slot.
And that's why Deuce, they were to get him. 100%. He'd be perfect for that slot role there.
That was pretty telling, that little running back.
They always drop a few nuggets here and there.
So any running back you see now, okay, who can kind of go in the slot if that's what they needed?
Yeah.
So could Deuce be the guy for the Chiefs here on day three? We'll give you some names to look for, and we're going to call our shot for the Chiefs in round four, the Day three of the NFL Draft starts here in 17 minutes. We'll be back on the other side on 610 Sports Radio. The NFL Draft starts in 12 minutes. I'm Nick Schwert, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero, Character Concerns with your 2023 NFL Draft coverage here on 610 Sports Radio. Let's name some names, guys. The Chiefs officially have pick 134. That is the 32nd pick of the fourth round, and that is their first of five picks remaining here on day three of the draft. But as we've already seen, the Saints have traded up 12 spots to get the number one pick here on day three with the Bears, and it cost them a fifth-round pick. So if you think the Chiefs should trade up, that's probably your window, and that's about what it would cost. You've thrown out two names over and over and over again. And I'm going to tell you what, Bink. I'm going to tell you what. I saw your reaction when the Chiefs weren't able to get Jonathan Mingo yesterday.
I acted like a baby.
I don't know what's going to happen to you if they don't get at least one of these Old Dominion guys.
Yeah, I know. I'm
worried about you.
Old Dominion Fan Club, Chris and I. Here's a couple guys I really like. Obviously, Tyler Scott's still on the board. I know you like him. He's probably the best available receiver left at this point out of Cincinnati. A guy that I'm looking for today at some point, there's a couple of them. Rice Ford-Wheaton, the wide receiver out of West Virginia because of his size. A couple of the receivers like Xavier Hutchinson at Iowa State. And I also really like Trey Palmer. Trey Palmer at Nebraska, he ran 4.33. He transferred from LSU to Lincoln, had 1,000 yards receiving there this year. But you go back to his time at LSU, he had a punt return touchdown, a kickoff return touchdown. I wouldn't mind seeing Trey Palmer on day three for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I would like both of those guys there. Very surprised that Trey Palmer made it out of round three. Another one of the, I mean, again, we've talked about this a lot. There's a lot of guys who have fallen in this draft. Very surprising available on day four. But for me, it's Zach Kuntz. You don't find a tight end with this level of athleticism.
He's my number one dream at this point.
Exactly. You just don't find a guy at that position with this level of athleticism. And I just think he fits exactly what the Chiefs like from there. And there's not going to be a rush to put him out there. This is the perfect time for you to start drafting projects with high level athleticism. And I think Kuntz fits that perfectly. So he's the guy that I'm looking for at in the fourth round for the Chiefs. And if they get him, you'll probably hear me screaming about it out there at the draft. So
him and Hunter Luepke.
Yeah.
And Nick Saldivari. Three guys will have me running around this building naked.
I think because of the 1 year Morris pick, I'd be surprised if they go offensive line again. But definitely Luepke, like maybe sixth, seventh round for sure. I'd be all about it.
See, I don't subscribe to that though. Just like last year when they threw all those darts at defensive backs. Like, I mean, you throw several darts. Because one's chance of working. Like, I would get more than one wide receiver in this draft with Rashee Rice. I would build your camp up there. You still get the practice squad, whatever. I would keep throwing darts at wide receiver. If I'm the Chiefs, and maybe one of these guys, a diamond in the rough, finding.
Yeah, I mean, maybe fifth round. If they get Kuntz fourth round, fifth round, if one of these guys is still around, like a Palmer or whatnot, or if they really like Bryce Ford Wheaton.
Or Ronnie Bell,
like maybe they can go that in the fifth. So they got options. This is not a reason to push yourself.
We got more action, boys. Another trade before round four begins. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network reporting that the Houston Texans have traded pick 104 to the Raiders. So the Raiders will be team two on the teams.
The Raiders had a bunch of picks today, and so it makes sense that they would try and trade up here, especially with so many guys falling.
And you think about the division and what some of these teams are doing. I mentioned earlier that I kind of liked some of the picks that Denver made. Like, I literally like the Mims pick.
Yeah, Marvin Mims. That was a good pick.
I thought that was a nice pick for Denver, even though it's been limited from what they have. But I like to look at what these teams are doing, and can they make a jump to try to beat the Chiefs? Drew Sanders, the linebacker from Arkansas that Denver took, actually like that pick as well. But you look at what some of these teams are doing and how they plan on combating the Chiefs. And the Raiders are a team that's really screwed up in the draft. More than anybody in the NFL the last couple of years. But Tyree Wilson, I like. Michael Mayer, the tight end at Notre Dame, replacing Darren Waller there with Vegas. A nice pick. And Trey Tucker, the wide receiver that they last took out of Cincinnati. Raiders are quietly doing some nice moves, but they bulked up Byron Young from Alabama on the defensive line. You bring in Michael Mayer for tight end as far as what the Raiders are concerned. But you look at what these teams are doing, and you think, okay, which of the Mahomes picks and which ones aren't? Because if you're not looking at the Chiefs as public enemy number one, when you're one of these teams, you're doing it all wrong.
I think all of the offensive picks nowadays, maybe not Wanya so much. I think Wanya was probably more so an offensive line. Hey, we'll talk to Trey. We'll talk to Creed and see if we can get those guys there. But I think for sure any pass catchers, you're talking to Patrick about that guy, about his fit. You're probably watching film with Patrick and seeing if, you know, there's some things that he likes there. And I imagine from now on, you're going to hear a lot of stuff about the Chiefs consulting with him on any offensive playmakers there.
And Mike Bergonzi, the assistant general manager, who was a scout for the Chiefs, he admitted it. He said, we get Pat's advice.
Right.
Like, he came out and said, we asked Pat.
Yeah. Rasheed was a secret attendee of Camp Pat. And I was so surprised that did not get out. Yeah.
Yesterday was about Pat, and that's what I wanted.
Well, the exact quote Adam Lefko gave on Bleacher Report's live stream yesterday was that Pat worked out with him, and then he told Veach, go get him.
There you go.
Go get him. That's all you need to hear.
Yesterday, by the way, was about Pat.
I think I've convinced myself I want to see a running back in round four. I want to see the Chiefs go up and get the guy you think can come in, slot right next to Isaiah Pacheco. Yes, you got Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round. I don't think you're going to be that fortunate every year. I think there's still a lot of really talented backs here available, whether it's Deuce Vaughn, Roschon Johnson at Texas might be a little too rich for their blood. Another guy we haven't talked a ton about, Chase Brown out of Illinois. I mean, the guy.
That's one of the guys.
He had his great.
I like him.
I mean, he tested really well at the combine. I think he had the best. I think he had the best broad jump and the best vert. If I recall correctly,
he's one of the top running backs in the nation last year.
One of the bouncy. You watch him play. He's just bouncy, and you think about the way that
fourth in the nation.
Pacheco is north south. Like, I am going to be a hammer. I'm going to go straight. This guy has a little bounce to his game. I think he would compliment Pacheco nicely.
And Dwayne McBride's still out there, UAB, second leading rusher in the nation.
Another guy like is Israel Abanaconda from Pitt.
Oh, he nailed the pronunciation.
Yeah, I
good at that, man.
I've watched film on him for my work for PFF, and yeah, that's a kid I like. I like him a lot. So that's, I think he could fit in. He can catch passes. He can run like. Pretty decent pass protector, not like one of the elite guys, but most of those guys in college are not elite pass protectors.
Well, here at Veach, he wants a running back that he can throw in the slot. Yeah. He wants hands.
And he can't, and they did throw him in the slot at Pitt, so I think that he's a fit there as well. There's a lot of good running backs here on day three, so I don't think the Chiefs would need to like reach at that position as compared to like some other positions. So this could very well work. This would work out really well for them if the Chiefs really do want to go running.
And as the fourth round is set to begin here in 4 minutes, we have another trade. The Eagles have now traded up to pick 105, so nobody's been picked today. Nobody's been picked today, but now the first three picks of the day have all been traded. Heading into, I don't know what the hell is about to happen.
The board resets today.
There's a whole lot of, we've been talking about this for the last couple hours now. There's a whole lot of guys that dropped that were projected to go day two. And I'm sure that there's a lot of teams out there who have ammunition who are salivating right now at the amount of players sitting there that they can go up and try to get here.
Speaking of running backs, as far as Andy Reid, what he values in running backs, I say the three categories. I think one, he values can you catch. Two, can you block? Three, can you run? I think running is the third most important thing for running backs.
Well, in this offense, it makes sense. And guess what? You already got a guy who can run, Isaiah Pacheco. So that box is checked.
But we did third one banger, man.
Yep. All right. Well, day three beginning momentarily. We got another hour left with you here on 610 Sports Radio.
This is an NFL Draft Special with the Character Concerns podcast crew. Subscribe and download today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 610 Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.